welcome to tonight's episode of Margaritas with Margarita. Although Margarita and I don't have margaritas because we're working. I'm drinking coffee out of my Las Cruces, New Mexico cup. And Rita is in Washington, D.C. or nearby. And we had so much fun last week talking about how women can flex their financial muscle, which is the theme of Rita's next book, Diary of a CFP Pro, that we thought and so many people said, I want more. So we said, why not? So we're going to do 15 minutes every Friday night. Join us. You can watch it after the fact, or you can join us live with a margarita or without. And tonight, Margarita is going to be talking about why women's money decisions will shape the future of the United States, which is truly amazing. I'll just give you a little background. Rita was featured on a CNBC op-ed, which she is frequently, talking about this. And the facts, I'm going to read them to you. Ted Jenkin, the CEO and founder of Oxygen Financial, said the rising economic power of women in this country is one of the most significant financial shifts in recent decades. The bottom line is that women are generating and managing the increasing amount of wealth in the United States, which is amazing, right? So Rita, talk a little bit about this phenomenon. What's happening?
So one of the first things that people ask, like, I want to invest in emerging wealth. How about BRICS? That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. I'm like, BRICS are great, but emerging wealth, that's right here in the United States of America. Women's wealth, women businesses. So women are starting businesses at a faster rate than anyone else. And then women of color, it's even more accelerated. So that old ad is necessity is the mother of invention holds true here.
It's amazing. In fact, women, I'm going to read this again. Women control more than 10 million, that's 33% of total U.S. household financial assets. An unprecedented amount of assets will shift into the hands of women in the next 3 to 5 years, representing close to $30 trillion by the end of the decade, which is just remarkable. So tell us what women need to do to set themselves up for financial success.
So I think it's important that strategies that I'm going to share with you today are helpful for any woman, regardless of her relationship status. So the first one is you want to start with your foundation. And that foundation means knowing your income and expenses, as well as your assets and liabilities, and then your credit score. So start with the foundation.
That sounds perfect. Talk to us a little bit about how we do that, though. I mean, it's great to have those ideas, but what are the tactical steps that we need to take to make sure that we have that all set up?
So the first thing is we'll talk about assets and liabilities. So assets are things that you own. Liabilities is what you owe. And for people who are younger, perhaps they're young professionals, they may have a negative net worth. And I just want to say that is not unusual, and that's nothing that you should be ashamed or embarrassed about, but this is a starting point. So net worth, your assets minus your liabilities, and that difference is your net worth. And like I said, if you're starting out, you might be in the red, and that's okay. That's because you invested in yourself to pursue education. The next step would be, your cash flow, the B word, budget. You take the money you have coming in minus your expenses, and then there's could be money left over. All too often, people are like, oh my gosh, I want to invest, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's important to take a step back and look at the foundation, because you want to make sure that you're taking care of other priorities, such as your emergency fund. Maybe you have some debt that you have to catch up on, and as well as, paying yourself. Then the last piece of the foundation is knowing your credit score. That's really important, because the higher your score, the lower the cost to borrow money, whether that's to buy a car or purchase a home.
Yeah, and that's really important, right? So you're going to give us 5 tips tonight. So that was the first one, to establish your foundation. The second is to create an emergency fund. Talk a little bit about that.
So sure, emergency fund is basically cash reserves, rainy day fund. And that is for emergencies or opportunities that may arise. Some things, can be positive. So what I mean by positive, let's say that someone invited you to go on a safe, so we'll say physically distance, retreat. You may need some money for that. It also could mean having money for tires or car repairs or medical expenses. So you want to make sure that you have money set aside that you can access without fluctuation in value.
Okay, so tip number three, because we're going toward our 15-minute goal, identify, prioritize, and quantify your financial goals. What does that mean?
So sure. So I know everyone is like focused on making sure that their money is working for them and they're doing the best they can financially. This one is, it's important to identify your goals and priorities, right? And then quantify them, meaning how much it's going to cost you to get there. So I know we've all heard about SMART goals, but I'm going to change it a little. S is for specific, M is for measurable, A is achievable, R, you've heard realistic, but I'm going to say rewarding here, and T, time bound. So the reason why it's important to have some SMART goals is, this is a really good example. I want to retire. I know you do. That is a goal, but it's not specific. You need to say, I want to retire at age X. So that would be the time bound. And I want, sure, we could all retire, but you want to make sure that when you retire, you have the appropriate amount for your goals. You might say, you know, I'm young. I'm still in the accumulation phase. Another example would be sending your kids to college. You know, I want my kid to go to college. I don't want my kid to borrow any money. Well, what does that mean? Are you talking about 4 years public, private, and so forth? So it's important to, we are going to have competing priorities, right? Particularly women, we have many roles. So it's important that we identify our goals and then prioritize and quantify them. So how much is going to cost to get there? If I send my kid to a private school and they don't borrow any money, what effect is that going to have on my ability to retire?
Yeah, that's really important for you to know, for all of us to know, right? So we can make a map and have a plan. And really, that's tip number four, investing in your future. So how do we do that smartly?
So sure. And the reason why a lot of people say, well, you should invest. And I agree. It is only through investing in which people can reach their goals. But I think it's important to build that foundation, make sure you have that emergency fund, make sure you know what your goals, then you can invest in a manner that's consistent with your time horizon, with your risk tolerance, as well as your tax situation. So here's what I mean. If taxes are a concern, you want to make sure that you're investing in a tax-friendly manner, taking advantage of the ways in which you can benefit from tax deferred or tax free growth. You also need to make sure that if your goal is to send your child to college and they are in middle school, you know, you need to be mindful. Okay, maybe they're 12 and they're going to be graduated from high school when they are 18. You don't have to pay for all 4 year schools when they're 18, but you need to make sure that you have money that you can access, because what you don't want is they're a junior or senior in high school and you have to say, oh gosh, you know what? Sorry, the market underperformed that year. That's not a good conversation to have. So what I mean is you need to make sure that your investments, the time frame aligns with the time frame for your goals.
Which makes perfect sense. And it's all part of that plan, right? So you have a strategy, you know exactly how you're doing what you're doing. And I think that's true for almost everything, but especially for women to keep in mind. Because tip number five is my favorite, protect your future and your loved ones. So how do we go about doing that really wisely?
So sure. And when I was coming up with these five tips, I wanted to make sure. So it's sure one could say that step number one has like three steps in it, but I kept it more broad. But step number five, protect yourself and protect your loved ones. This is risk management or protection planning or insurance planning. So this is particularly important for everybody, but especially women. So what I'm referring to is making sure if you are a sole breadwinner that you understand what health insurance you have in place, your disability benefits and your life insurance. Here's what I mean is, you know, when I was younger, I'm like disability insurance. I'm not disabled. Why do I need this? This is a true story. Come to find out, I was like, oh, as part of benefits for having a baby, I didn't know that I was allowed to have disability insurance. I mean, here I was like, I'm not disabled. Why do I need disability insurance? People are like, well, you know what? When you give birth, you're not able to work. I know you're healthy and you have a beautiful, healthy baby, no complications, but you are eligible for these disability benefits. And that's very important because I could focus that time with my baby. And while I wasn't receiving 100% of my pay, I was getting 60% of pay, which is certainly something. Now, I know we could have a whole nother conversation of how we should have 100% paid leave in America. That's another conversation for another day. But disability, knowing that you have income to protect your greatest asset, which is your ability to earn an income, is very important. And then if you have people who are financially dependent on you, life insurance. And here's another coverage that I think is often overlooked. The reality is there are more women who are caring for aging relatives. So making sure that your aging relatives have a plan for how they're going to handle long-term care. And that doesn't just mean insurance. That means, you know, the estate planning aspect, the medical directives, the will, and so forth. So the fifth one is, yes, make sure that you're taking steps to protect yourself and your loved ones.
And I love these tips, Rita, because they're so heartful and they're so you. They're such an amazing reflection of you, which is why I love working with you. You bring that real human factor to financial planning. And I think as women, you know, we really want that. We need that. In fact, a topic that we sort of touched on today is how women outlive men by such a, you know, sometimes by a lot of years. And so next week, we're going to be talking about that, how women can protect themselves and prepare for the loss of a spouse or the loss of a loved one, which is a sad, horrible topic to talk about just before Valentine's Day. But we're going to tackle it because women need to be smart and flex those financial muscles. So thank you, Rita Cheng. It is wonderful to talk with you on 15 Minutes from Margaritas with Margarita every Friday night, 5 p.m. Eastern here on Facebook Live. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, founder of Incandescent. We'll see you guys soon.